man out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math.
I was wondering if you're going to do this or school's out for summer. I was like, what's Jane going to pick for the school topic? That's a good one. Good find, Jane. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. My guest this hour is Angela Lang. And you graduated from Milwaukee Public Schools, and then you went to Public University, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So you have very much experienced public schools and education in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I saw this, I guess it was yesterday, which feels like a big deal. And we'll see if it actually comes through. But basically, there's been a program at UW-Madison called Bucky's Tuition Promise, which was a promise that for students who went to UW-Madison, if their family earned less than $62,000 a year, that there would be cover the basically the last mile of after federal grants and state grants coverage so that you could go to UW-Madison tuition-free if you were under that income level. And now yesterday, UW System President Jay Rothman announced that with or without the state budget approval for the year of 2023 going into 2024, they're going to extend that program and call it Wisconsin Tuition Promise to all 12 schools. And granted, they still, for more years, they're going to go to the state and or the state legislature and try to get that funded. But this feels like a really big deal and a step in the right direction. Do you have qualms about it? Do you have thoughts about it? But like, I feel like this should be celebrated and supported.
Yeah. So I come out of student organizing. And so I think about like my student organizing time of like, okay, like 10, 12 years ago, like if this were to happen, how would we have felt? And a lot of things have changed since then, but I feel like this is a good thing and being able to have and expand access to low income folks as much as possible to have opportunities of higher education is always a good thing. I want to make sure that, you know, it's not people have to like pay more in like segregated fees, for example. Again, student government nerd, but there's always kind of an allocation of tuition called segregated fees that students are responsible for. And the student government gets to kind of help allocate. And sometimes like raising segregated fees also prices people out of tuition in general. So interested to see kind of how like how these dynamics kind of play out. But again, I think making higher education more accessible, especially to the UW system, where for a long time the Board of Regents were raising tuition at their June meeting every year. It came to be expected. Every June they had a meeting in Milwaukee and us students would be there to protest because always on the agenda was raising tuition. For a minute, there was a tuition freeze, which is good. But at
the
same time, like
they're still, that's the thing is like, what are they going to keep it up? Because it's right now, it still is a freeze. And it's interesting that you say that because I think despite being a little bit older than you, I was in college at the same time in California and the same thing was happening. I remember specifically protesting in like the major like foyer of the in front of the administration hall because each semester for being a public institution was getting create like more and more expensive. And there also is that gap between students of need and underserved. So in this threshold, it's under the family makes less than $62,000. But I remember specifically, even though I was older, until I turned 23, I still had to report my parents' income, which made it look like I didn't need that much help. And then as soon as I was 23, I didn't have to report their income. And then a whole bunch of grants and aid became available. And so it's not only just the underserved on that kind of arbitrary line, because if you make $65,000 a year, it's not like you're doing a whole lot better, but then you maybe don't qualify, right? But there's also a gap ahead of that, that this is still incredibly expensive, even if you don't get this kind of help. And so is this, in certain ways, it's a huge step forward. And there's also probably not going to address people who still need more help.
Yeah, you know, I think on one hand, it helps the as many individuals as possible, like the individual students, but also it adds to the richness of the university by making it as accessible as possible. So you're not just having a bunch of, you know, privileged kids all attending the same classes and whatnot. And I think being able to expand this as much as possible, because you're right, like if someone misses the cutoff by like, you know, $1 or, you know, $1,000, what does that look like? And I think, again, given kind of like the times that we're in, a college degree means a little bit more these days. There is a time where you can get away with just having a high school degree and it's fine. We are not living in those times. And then we constantly see how people are like priced out of education. They're priced out of, you know, bigger institutions because they don't have that college degree, for example. Or they were not offered that opportunity. And so I think being able, you know, I'm of the generation that like college and higher education should be free, right? If we're going to make this like a standard in our society in order to like, you know, move up in the world, whatever it is, we need to make it as accessible as possible for people. And again, it's not just like on an individual basis, although it is, and I think it's morally right thing and it's morally just thing. But it, like I said, it also adds to the richness of the college experience by having a diverse array of people, by making it accessible to everybody too.
And it's interesting because I think there's some of us who always see choices like this, like what you just said, as far as the school should be accessible because it's the right thing to do because of the individual experience of trying to better yourself. And often sometimes for certain people who hold certain beliefs, that argument falls flat. And so like the argument that like universal health care should be, we should have universal health care because it's the right thing to do and people shouldn't go bankrupt for getting sick. But often sometimes the argument has to get flipped on its head and put in a different syntax for other people to hear it. So like with universal health care, it's a good business decision because you're not making small businesses pay for health care. In this situation, which I think is also a valid one, is it's not only there's more and more, there's so many job opportunities that say you need a college degree, but there's also a huge shortage. Like, I feel like every week we see some headline in Wisconsin of there's a shortage of public defenders. There's a shortage of teachers. There's last week it was a shortage of dentists and dental hygienists, right? And so there's all these different sectors that you need a degree in. Like, I mean, I know that there's a debate right now on whether or not, I think Florida just announced that they're not going to have, they're going to let veterans be teachers without getting any kind of accreditation and training. And, that's a different discussion that we don't have to dive into, but there's these professions that you need some kind of training to be able to do. And so making that as the argument, ideally, I think to appeal to Republican legislatures, to fund this because we are in a labor shortage on in so many different sectors beyond just the service industry. And so it, that makes it feel like there's, it's more prime to actually get funded beyond this first year that the UW system said they're going to fund it themselves. But it's interesting because they're also in the hole, like you said, is that they were arbitrarily raising tuition and there's been a freeze for 10 years, but ultimately there's still things that have to get paid for.
Yeah. I often like just think about this and, you know, don't we just want like smarter people?
I know.
Right? Like I learned a lot in college, in the classroom and a lot outside the classroom. Like I quite frankly, like got my organizing skill set in college that I absolutely wouldn't have got. And so I think like being able to have kind of like the college experience like is so good for our state. And you know, I think about our mayor and our governor that are always talking about, you know, having a talent here, how we're recruiting and retaining talent in the city of Milwaukee, how we want to, you know, retain the smartest and brightest and kind of have Milwaukee be this hub. That starts by having accessible education, right? There are so many of my friends that, and myself included for a split second, that wanted nothing more than to leave after high school because they didn't feel that they had opportunities here, or they didn't feel like the quality of the public school system was up to their standards, or they didn't have the programs that they wanted to major in. And so, you know, what does it look like to constantly try to retain that talent here instead of sending that talent out elsewhere? I know so many people who left after college. Some came back and some didn't. And I think all of that is kind of connected to the state's future, the economy, and how we're able to kind of grow a lot of these systems and having that labor shortage, right? Like, we would love to be able to tap into local folks to be these teachers, to be these dentists and doctors and whatever the shortage is. And there's nothing like homegrown folks. And even folks that even want to come to our institutions that may not have that access should be able to be supported, and we should make incentives for people to stay here and to give back to our state and to participate not only in the economy but our general political system.
And one of the things you said, because one of the questions, the bigger, I guess, problems or goals, depending on how you define it, that I always come back to, as it should be a bipartisan goal, and how you get there sometimes has more partisan policy decisions, but is the idea of population. Like, in the last 10 years, Dane County is the only county in Wisconsin that grew. We have an aging population. We have a declining birth rate. We're not the only state that has that, but we live here, and you and I are very invested in here. And so I always think about it as, like, how do we have these conversations about what actually moves the needle on that? And so for someone, I'm obviously someone who came back, you're someone who never left, you just mentioned people who in your life who have left and came back, people who left and never came back. So, like, what are the major, like, in your world, what are some of the policy decisions that we could improve on to keep to in the buzzwords of keep and retain and attract talent?
Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to having opportunities, right? And I think some of my frustration, at least in the city of Milwaukee as of late, is that it feels that there is so much attention being played on business and doing anything to help small businesses and to grow the economy in whatever way that is. And I can't help but to think of, like, things like the RNC, right? And it's like, we're growing the economy. And if people are going to use that as an excuse of, like, it's going to be good for local businesses, we also need to foster a climate that is safe for young professionals, specifically BIPOC and young and Black and Brown professionals. It's not always about the money. And so how are we building kind of these supportive climates, right? I think about, like, college campuses. For a very long time, UWM was voted, like, the top university for LGBTQ, you know, climate and feeling safe on campus. How are we building our institutions up in a way that also is supporting people's identity, supporting people that want to be here? But I think if people are only focused on downtown economic development, even, you know, some sort of housing issues, right? We see that gentrification is an issue that people are starting to pay attention to more in Milwaukee. And so there needs to be a balance of not just, you know, supporting businesses and just doing whatever we can to bring in money, because not everyone is a business owner, and people should be safe in the same community that they want to work and to live and potentially raise a family in too.
So you don't think it's what Rebecca Clayfish said at the debate, that it's income taxes? that's not what's keeping 22-year-olds to come and move to Wisconsin?
I don't think anything Rebecca Clayfish says is valid, to be fair, including that. I'm sorry, 22-year-olds are not thinking about income taxes and be like, that's where I want to live. Like,
Yes. When she said, I don't think I ever talked about it on the show, but when she said that, as someone who lived in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York before coming back to Wisconsin, I was like, yeah, I don't know many 20-somethings who are like, no income tax, that's where I'm moving.
I thought I was, like, a nerd of, like, because I'm moving next month. I'm still staying on the same side of town, but I'm like, representatives, I don't want to change, like, who represents me in the district. I have to, like, I thought, like, that's the extent of, like, what my generation thinks about, and I thought I was a nerd for that. But it's like, for people to think that, you know, people in our generation are thinking about income taxes when they're settling down, I don't know where they got that from. And Rebecca Clayfish needs to maybe talk to young people.
I know, because they, like, zoomed in on her daughters who are, like, a senior in high school and a freshman in college. Yep. Like, Rebecca, they're not thinking about that. Like, they're not at all.
I guarantee it.
All right. Well, we have one more segment left with Angela Lang. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bray.
You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one